Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, indeed. Hello and welcome to the Saturday Scrum. And we choose to set that scrum bang in the middle of the field, attacking options either side of me and Emma Lawrence and Ryan Girdle. Hello and welcome back, team.
Yeah, hello everyone, hello listeners, and hello, welcome to King G. Yeah, sponsoring the show on a Saturday. Love their workwear.
They've been around what, a set of King G's. I'm just looking here, 1926.
Is that right?
Yeah, 1926. Yeah. Proud to be associated. So thank you so much. Welcome, King G.
Absolutely.
G'day, Em. Look, before we get into what is a huge news day, news week, news year in terms of the NRL and all sports, it is time to welcome this man.
Gives it to Moses. Moses beats one, beats another. Whoa! The backfield, in by coming across, 30 to go, 20 to go, 10 to go, goal! Mitchell Moses scores the first try at Bankwest Stadium.
Oh, that was a moment, wasn't it?
That was such a moment, for us. What about you? Mitchell Moses, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And a little bit of spine tingling for
you? Yeah, it was. A little bit of goosebumps, a bit of memories, but no, it was such a special moment in my career and something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
As a Tigers fan, I didn't particularly like that day, but I did enjoy your performance. But that's nightmares for me that day.
Absolutely. Well, you started the season off well, other than 8-2 win for the Eels over the Doggies, who were very, very brave. We'll get to that game in more detail. There's huge news, and I guess, and it's very keen to hear from you and from listeners across the day and all those who have a stake in this great game of ours, is what is happening, obviously, with COVID-19, the coronavirus. Games at the moment, as we know, will go ahead this weekend with crowds involved. From next weekend, it will be behind closed doors. In fact, from Monday, that is the ruling. Not sure what the difference between Sunday, gathering in over 500 on Sunday, then Monday, it's all tickety-boo. Can't do it. How's it been in clubland, in a football club, with all this news spilling around and you just trying to get what you do right, playing a game of footy?
Yeah, well, it doesn't really change for us, I think. As a club, as a team, we go to training. We don't really change anything. We're probably just a bit more worried about our hygiene, I guess. And you know, it's pretty simple for us. We just got to go out and play footy, train as it is. And nothing really changes for us. But you know, it's pretty much out of our hands. You know, I mean, we can't really control it. If someone gets it, someone gets it. I think it's just we can't really control it. So we're just gonna go about it as nothing's changed really.
In terms of the no crowds, though, have you thought about how strange that would be? Because that's a massive part of the reason you play for the fans and you feed off that atmosphere. So have you pictured what it will be like?
Yeah, it would be a bit weird. I was speaking to Teddy the other day and saying it'd be very weird. I think they were thinking about playing against no one today. So, it would be very weird. But I think we've done some sessions in the past that we've trained at Bankwest in front of no crowd, like I said, training against each other and opposed footy, so it hasn't really changed much, so won't be weird, but yeah, a bit different, I guess.
Every team has that guy, that touchy guy, you know, that wants to touch you all the time.
Gus Wallen
training and just wants to give you a hug. Who's that guy? Who are you going to be avoiding over the next couple of weeks?
That's Kano. Kano's got a handshake with every single player, and I don't know how he remembers every single handshake, but he's got with every single player, gets really touchy about it, so we got a lot of them, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, pretty much the whole team.
Well, Brad Arthur said that there was, you know, fist bumping, which is the way to go, but then Blake Ferguson walks in and goes the hug.
Well, there you go. You can't really stop it, I guess. I walked in the other day.
It's one in all in anyway. I mean, if the one of the teams plays in one of the teams goes down, I mean, they're all quarantined for 14 days. You may as well get it out of your system.
Exactly. That's why it's weird.
Let's have a listen to Todd Greenberg and what he had to say about the coronavirus and the NRL.
And in simple terms, all NRL games in round one will continue to proceed as planned, including stadiums open for all of our fans. In round two, when we get into the second week of our competition, our games will continue to proceed as planned, albeit with our stadiums will be closed to fans.
That's Todd Greenberg speaking yesterday. So there, as we mentioned, that we'll go ahead in front of crowds for the rest of this weekend, but as of next weekend, fans won't be allowed. Later in the show, I want to hear from you, from the fans, about that whole idea. Should we postpone the season? If somebody does come down with it from one of the clubs.
Well, which Sharks players, actually? There's a Sharks player that was tested, wasn't it?
Yeah, Bronson Cherry.
But he's been cleared.
He's been cleared.
Yeah, but the absolute priority is to at least have the games go ahead because... Well, first off, the fact that...
We don't have a job if they don't.
Well, yes, of course. So it's all about us. But 70 to 80% of the game's revenue comes from the broadcasters.
Yep.
So to remain financially viable, they need for the games to go ahead. And also because it's such an important part of, I guess, the culture of society anyway. So if you can have the game still and you can allow people to still watch the games on TV. Absolutely. That would be...
Or listen on the radio, which is probably even more important.
Sorry, I should have put that as the first option.
Yeah. I did like priority, but anyway. I did like the fact that Katoni Staggs, his try celebration was the hand sanitizer, washing of the hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is good. I did a luncheon, spoke to Sir Ian Botham during the week, and he was completely shocked and stunned by the whole toilet paper thing that's going on. I don't know, is it in your club? Or who's the guy who's been lining up?
We caught Mike Acevo the other day. Uh-huh. He was running into the toilets and grabbing all the toilet rolls. So he's the athlete for training. So it's crazy to see. You see videos on social media about these fights, people fighting over toilet rolls. And
unbelievable.
It's just out of hand.
That's three-ply stuff, roll. Tony. You just can't, that's like gold, the three-ply. I mean, people that are usually going down that sort of that luxury item path and now just back to single ply, and they must be chafed. They must be walking funny.
At this function, Sir Ian Botham actually got a toilet roll out and signed it and auctioned it off and went for $500.
It did not.
$500. Okay. Maybe people just want to wipe their ass on his name. I'm not sure.
But I still don't understand why it's toilet paper, though. What about all of the other essentials?
Well, apparently it's been all pasta, everything that's been just getting flogged. So.
Okay.
It is amazing. Medical supplies.
I don't go to the shops. My missus said that just everything's been cleaned out. So
love it. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I listen to the Saturday
Your
Scrum.
Your bumper's full, Tony, isn't it?
Yes. Mitch Masters is here for the first 2 hours. Peter Sterling will join us at 2 o'clock. Jack Whiten is going to be here as well. We'll talk about the games that have been played, preview the ones that we hope will be played as we look at this bizarre mystery start to season 2020. Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G. Some Duran Duran for you there on the Saturday Scrum. Plenty ahead of us in the hours we get to share this afternoon. Very shortly, we'll be trying to get your take on this coronavirus and what it means for the NRL. Should the NRL postpone the season? It's something that has been touted, and I guess as soon as we mentioned, Mitchell Moses is with us this afternoon. As soon as a player does get the virus, you'd imagine it's going to be very difficult not to at least postpone that game. And I know that Todd Greenberg said that in that media conference yesterday, that they'll be agile in what they do. If it means postponing a single game and having to play catch up, that may well be one path to go. But given the rest of the world is absolutely jumping off.
It'll be interesting. We've got Mitch here now. And I mean, in relation to, and back in the day, the game wasn't as physical and as fast, but you know, with games that they used to have midweek, to make up a game, or they used to play a thing called the Tuis Challenge or the Amco Cup and that sort of stuff. Like, do you think now in the modern day game, it would be possible if they were to postpone a game, to then maybe play a Wednesday game?
I don't think so. I'm still like I play Thursday night and I'm still feeling it now, and I reckon I'll be feeling it up until Monday. Like, it'd be too hard, I think, the turnaround, how physical the game is now. Like you said, it's too hard for those turnarounds. I mean, you got the players that can do it in Origin and then back up that weekend, but you know that's three times a year. Yep. You know what I mean? So I think it'll be too hard, and I think the season goes too long to be able to play catch up. You'll get player burnout then. And yeah, I think it would be too tough to have the catch-up games.
Just having a look at what has happening so far. As we mentioned, the NRL, the AFL, which doesn't start till next weekend, they've already said they'll be playing behind closed doors when that season kicks off, if it does. As we saw, the Australia's cricket series against New Zealand, the one-day series at the Sydney Cricket Ground yesterday evening, played with nobody, players having to scramble over the fence to get the ball if somebody hit a six. I love that kind of stuff.
Where is it?
They should have been fielding at square leg, you know, with the beer in hand. It would have been absolutely perfect. The NBL Grand Final series, that's one all now, of course, Perth and Sydney, the Kings. That is behind closed doors as well. All the American sports, the NBA, the NHL, MLB, MLS, they've all been suspended until at least April.
Yeah, the F1 as well.
EPL, English Premier League.
See,
the golf.
the golf has gone as well. The US Masters has already been postponed, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's just all happening. The Masters has had men's tennis suspended until at least April 27. So it's phenomenal what is happening. And I don't think there's any other way around it, is there?
There's no other way around it. I mean, as I said before, the absolute priority is to still at least have the games with no crowds. But as soon as a player does test positive, you're going to have to postpone games, and maybe they'd have to be cancelled altogether because, as Mitch said, it might be hard to double up. Maybe they can do a couple of double ups. Yeah. I know Wayne Bennett even did float the idea of, to avoid travel interstate, having a magic round style scenario where you're having all the games in at least, if not one stadium, maybe potentially two, but just to avoid the travel all across the country, particularly for the likes of the Cowboys.
Yeah. All right, well, let's have hear from a regular on this show. The great Mr. Brent Reed is with us. Reedy, g'day. You there, Reedy? No, not quite there. We'll get back to Brent Reed, who...
He's taking his mask off and buying some toilet paper because he's a doomsdayer, Rudy.
He is.
He might be doing all of his invoices for all of his gigs across the week.
Yeah, he's a rich doomsdayer, isn't he?
But that notion, does that work for anybody, the idea? And Townsville has been maybe as a venue because with this virus, heat isn't a friend of the virus, which is good. So somewhere like Townsville might be, if you know, everybody was basically shipped up there, head north and play the games as the magic round it was in at Suncorp last year. As a, you know, Parramatta Eel, you like spending the North Queensland time?
Yeah, well, we're up there round three, so be interesting to see if we play in front of a crowd then or see what happens. But, you know, we always love that trip up there. It's always hot, and it's obviously a very scrappy game when you play up there. It's a lot of sweat on the ball and very dewy. Always playing at night there, so but, you know, all the boys love playing there.
Bronson Cherry, we mentioned. Now, he's a Sharks player. There was two, but his name was mentioned as one and was tested for the virus.
And has been cleared. But the good news was the fact that he wasn't actually, he's injured at the moment, so he wasn't going to be playing anyway this week. And as soon as they noticed he had any sort of cold and flu-like symptoms, he was put in isolation anyway. So there was not a major concern that anyone else in that Sharks squad was potentially infected as well as a result of Bronson Cherry.
Well, the moral of that is, you know, Tony, wash your cherries.
Thank you. Welcome to the new season, Ryan Girdler.
Yeah, no, it's nice to be back.
I love it. Do we have Brent Reed? Is Reedy there? G'day, Reedy.
I'm here, guys.
Good to hear from
you. I've been here before.
Beautiful. The important thing about radio is we need to hear you.
We were complimentary, Brent. Always complimentary. It's great to have you back.
Absolutely.
I wasn't washing my hands. I was actually playing a game of Cluedo with the kids, but they had an argument over who wanted to be Professor Plum and who wanted to be Miss Scarlet, and the game ended.
Yeah, well, maybe the only sport we get in the coming months, Cluedo.
Was it in front of a crowd or behind closed doors, Rudy?
My wife was watching on. Okay. She was pumped.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, so it started in Wuhan at some marketplace. Some dirty bats may have passed some disease on to some chickens. Who knows what it was.
Suddenly it's gone. They've been eating bats for 2,000 years.
Well, it may not be eating the bats. It may have been infected an animal of another animal that was then eaten. So from then, it's now, as we know, gone.
Is that a cough, Reedy?
Yes, it's a dry cough.
Isolation. I was in Japan for 5 weeks ago. Actually, I've been tested.
Oh, have
I got
you?
Tested when I got back. Yeah,
for
had a
what?
Swab, had a mouth swab, and came back all clear. Fortunately,
good on you.
Yeah.
All right. For so where anyway. Are we placed? Yeah. We heard obviously from Todd Greenberg, so we know that you're completely safe to hang out with a big crowd on the week this weekend. But come Monday, it's all over. What have you made it, and where are we at?
It was an amazing day yesterday as a journalist. I mean, I can imagine what it was like for Mitch as a footballer, but as a journalist, it was an amazing day because I'm sure Emma could attest, things were just changing by the hour, by the minute, really, because you had the NRL come out and say it was game on, and then suddenly we were hearing suggestions they were going to shut the gates last night, and no one was going to be allowed last night. So it was a pretty crazy 24 hours, and I don't think we've seen the end of it. I think, you know, as you guys have mentioned, the minute a player gets it, we've seen what's happened overseas. With the Premier League's been shut down, I think, till April 3. Sports, you know, in Italy and all around Europe have been shut down. So that's the great fear for the game, that a player gets it, because the financial damage would be immeasurable. It would destroy clubs, and it destroyed the game's obviously got, I think, about $100 million in the bank now to eat into all that. So that's the thing we all live in fear of. And I think that's part of the reason they're talking about taking players and teams to one place, because not only would you be able to reduce the travel, but all the players would be together, and you could almost cocoon them from the public in a way. So it would help maybe protect them from the virus as well. But as I said, it's changing constantly. It's crazy.
What would that mean, though, Rudy? I mean, take away the NRL's involvement financially for the clubs, just in relation to not having bums on seats at their home games. I mean, how much of their revenue is driven by the crowds?
Well, some clubs will be worse than others. Obviously, Brisbane get a lot of money through the gate, but they've also got a lot of money in the bank, so it may not damage them as much as what it would to a club like Manly or Cronulla. I mean, the figure I got told was about $4 million across the clubs each weekend that they would lose if they weren't hosting footy games. Now, you think about that. If it goes on for a month, you're talking potentially $20 million out of the club's pockets. And some clubs haven't got that. Well, most of the clubs don't have that money. So
Todd Greenberg and Peter Vlandis have both said that they will help out, though, haven't they?
Well, they have, but, I mean, they're not. They've got some money. They're not swimming in rivers of gold, Tone. I mean, it only stretches so far. It's interesting. There's actually a clause in the agreement that was struck with the players a couple of years ago that if, in the event the game suffers a big financial catastrophe, they can renegotiate the salary cap. So it could be that the players potentially have got to wear some of this as well. I hate to tell you that, Mitch, but that isn't the CBA. That's a clause in the CBA. It's called an act of God clause. So it may get to the point where maybe the players are going to wear some of it and the salary cap gets slightly reduced.
And, Reedy, what about the possibility of, obviously, there's going to be loss of money when they're postponing games or even cancelling them, but I know Vlandis, in his role with Racing New South Wales, was speaking about the fact back in, I think it was 2007, when they had that influenza crisis and they had to get a government grant. Is that, have there already been talks about getting assistance from the government, or is it a bit premature at this stage?
Well, I'm sure Peter would be doing that, but the issue is, when it was equine influenza, it was sort of restricted to one industry. But with this, everyone's hurting. There's financial damage, not just the rugby league. It's right across the board. It's not just sport. It's society. And I don't know whether the government would be able to send a couple of $100 million rugby league's way. I mean,
surely the Prime Minister would find some cash for Cronulla, wouldn't you?
Did you notice he had his Cronulla tie on at the press conference yesterday?
Yes.
He loves it. I reckon that's why the lockdown got delayed till Monday, so he could go to the footy Saturday night.
That's right. Well, since then he said he's not going to go. Mm. The thing is, I mean, look, and it's not easy, but we try to find some humour in this. But the sad thing is, we all will know. We know people, you know, you think about your elderly parents or anybody who's got any condition that is going to leave them susceptible to the, you know, the ugly side of this illness, which is the massive issue. So it is a health. It's not just down to the NRL. Obviously, Todd Greenberg, Peter Vlandis are going to be listening to the chief medical officer. They're going to be listening to government instructions to work out what can and must be done.
Well, in times like this, I suppose, you know, rugby league is the centre of all our universes, but for everyone else, it's a minor matter, really. Yep. You know, it's interesting with the fans being locked out. I was listening to a podcast today from England, a Premier League podcast, and they were talking about how locking out fans might actually bring the fans and the players closer together, because when you watch a game without fans, I can imagine what it's like playing a game without fans. It sucks the life out of it. It's not the same. And I think it reinforces how important fans are to the game. I mean, if we ever forget that, it's a time you realise it. And I'm sure it's the same for the players. If they're not playing in front of fans, it's just not the same. So in the long run, it might actually bring the game closer together, and it might bring the fans closer to the players, I think. But in the short term, it's devastating.
Yeah, all right, indeed. Well, let's hear from those fans. Give us a call right now, 133353. Very, very simple question for you. Should the NRL postpone the season? Should the NRL postpone the season? What do you think, 133353? Brent Reed, thanks so much. Chat very soon.
Tony, the big issue here is money. I mean, they've got a broadcasting deal. And if they're not playing games, the broadcasters aren't going to want to pay.
Too true.
Reedy, before you go, just on a personal note, I know you're going to be coaching your son's team again. Have you got the I know you lost the dressing room, I believe, when you lost the final last year. How's that tracking and how's off-season been?
I'm planning to use the carrot and the stick again this year. Emma, lots of stick, not much carrot for these kids. They got to weigh them up this year. We got promoted, so up to Division 4, the older kids, and they've just got to weigh them up. But I'm telling you, they'll be running sandhills.
Oh, lost the dressing room. Brent Reed, thank you so much. Catch up very soon. Give us a call. 133353. It's a Saturday scrum.
The Triple M Saturday scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Love you to have your company on a Saturday afternoon in the scrum. Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Mitchell Moses with you. Ironically, none of us has put our head in the scrum. I can't. Did you play any scrum, you know, in the junior football? Play, you know.
I put my head in the scrum a couple of times, but yeah.
Anybody can put their head in the scrum anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Not me. Keep it straight out of there.
Not in a proper scrum.
No, absolutely. Should the NRL postpone the season? That is a question we're asking you. It's something that may well happen if this coronavirus or COVID-19 does strike a player or a club. It would seem that that would have to happen. Love to hear from you. Olivia has given us a call on 133353. G'day, Olivia.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, well, what do you think?
Well, I'm a school teacher and I'm at school with kids like all year who are sick. And I think like if schools aren't being postponed, and I know that obviously sport is a big part of the culture, and I'm a PE teacher, so I'm encouraging people to go to these things. Like I don't think the NRL should postpone it because it's a minute group that are unfortunately passing away and getting the worst of this illness.
Yeah.
Which either exercise the air of caution and obviously don't go if you're sick, but like people shouldn't stop their lives and the NRL shouldn't postpone the season just because of coronavirus.
Where's the education department at with this at the moment? Olivia, you'd obviously be up to date. You expect to go and teach on Monday?
Unfortunately, I still have to go back to work, so for the kids, we'll still all be at school on Monday.
Okay.
And we're still playing gala days, we're still playing sport, we're still in the classroom, in the computer lab, we're still outside.
There are some schools that are different. I know that my daughter's sport this weekend has been cancelled from their school and other schools that were going to play into school sport. All right, Olivia, thank you so much. Chad, what do you reckon? You there, Chad?
Yeah.
What do you reckon, bud?
Mate, I think we're just moving to smaller grounds where they kind of run the trial matches. You know, I was just at Cabramatta. There's no more than probably 1,000 people there watching the Bulldogs take on Manly, the juniors team. I don't think they can do that with the NRL side. You know, Wentworthville have a pretty much good field there, and St Mary's have a great field there. Just if crowds get less, then the risk goes lower.
The issue might be there in relation to the broadcast. You know, they probably won't have the facilities. And I think obviously the broadcasting through this next period, if you're not going to have fans, they're going to go through the roof. So maybe, Chad, the broadcasters might struggle a little bit there, but otherwise it's a great idea.
I think Mitch Moses struggles a little bit going from Bankwest Stadium to
He looked excited about Chad's idea, didn't he?
Broadcasted quite well in Foxville.
Yep.
They did turn for that bigger trial match. They did end up it would have taken a lot of effort and resources, but they ended up getting a little sort of mini broadcast hub out of that.
Yep, absolutely. So,
hub, nice word.
Ooh, yeah.
Wayne, what are your thoughts?
Hello.
Hi, Wayne. What do you think?
What I think they should do is if they're going to get rid of part of the season, maybe they take out the fact that the teams play two teams, all of those games get suspended, and then everybody plays one team each once.
Okay. Oh, there's a thought that should happen anyway, Wayne, isn't there?
Well, yeah, there is a little bit, I suppose, but you know, in this case, you know, they might just have to take people out for a while and then just run it a little bit later so that the guys actually get a one game against everybody.
Yeah, that you'd imagine that certainly would be, if we are do have to suspend, I'd imagine that would certainly be one of the things that the NRL would be looking at, how they do condense the season and still make it meaningful.
It wouldn't be good if they kept just the regular season. You missed a couple of games, but you missed the Titans and possibly the Warriors, and you still had two games against the Storm and the Raiders.
And Tom, g'day, Tom.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, buddy. What do you think?
I've actually got a question for Mitch Moses. I mean, I heard Michael Morgan saying that he would rather not play in front of an empty stadium. You know, would Mitch Moses prefer to play to suspend the comp or to play at an empty Bankwest?
I think I'd rather play at an empty Bankwest. I think if you miss too many games, like I said, if you miss a Titans game versus the Titans or a team lower than the ladder, and then you get a team like the Roosters that you have to verse twice in a year, I just don't think it's fair. And I'd rather just play in front of no crowd. But you know, the fans are so important to our game, and I think it'll really test our competition to see How it goes, I guess.
How motivated you can be.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, I mean, LeBron James, during the week, he came out and said, you know, I ain't playing if it's not in front of the fans. I mean, the irony, of course, that's a little bit naive because he might be not playing in front of 16,000 people in a stadium, but there's 20 million people watching him on TV who are still the fans, who are still equally as invested and, you know, they want that product.
What about if, Mitch, if they do end up postponing for a couple of weeks, what about the impact that has? You've started playing and then all of a sudden you have a couple of weeks break. I know you're still training, but what does that do physically?
Yeah,
you know, your match fitness. That'd be tough to come back.
It'll throw you off a bit. Yeah. I think we'll probably have to go back into a little mini preseason, to be honest, and, you know, probably run some more hills.
That'd be fun.
Training and, you know, it was long enough already. So, it'd be tough, but, you know, it's a testing time for the NRL and see how we come out.
Broncos and the Cowboys last night. We'll have a look at that game next on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M footy. Woo! The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
22,459 brave souls turned up last night at the opening of the Queensland Country Bank Stadium in Townsville. Looked absolutely sensational. They didn't get the result they wanted, though. The Cowboys going down to the Broncos 28-21. In essence, the score reads closer than it probably was, with the Cowboys scoring a couple of late tries. The Broncos, super impressive. But I guess the big story out of that surrounds Pangai Jr., Tevita Pangai Jr. This is what Gordon Tallis had to think last night.
I don't think it's a penalty. I think because everybody run in, it's a penalty.
On the line.
But the guy's on the ground. You see some people walk over and put their hand on, right? But he's just jumped on him to put some body weight on.
So Gramble with the ball. Here goes
first Gordon. Game of the year, Dobbo. They're fired up.
Yeah, Gordy didn't think it was a penalty. What's it turned out to be, Em?
Well, in fact, he could miss 4 to 6 weeks. So he's been slapped with a grade 2 charge. If he takes the early guilty plea, he gets 4 weeks, but that's because he has carryover points because he had some similar offences last year. If he challenges and loses, he could be out for 6 weeks. So for Gordy to say that's not
even... Is the Ecker on at the moment? Because Gordy always has a few at the Ecker and goes, sometimes calls a game. But we'll have to give him the benefit of the doubt, Gordy, because it's the first game back and everyone's a little bit rusty. But he needs to get that out of his game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a poor play. I believe he's such a talented player. He's such an integral part of this Broncos outfit and the way that they play. Like, I mean, he can just be such a weapon for him out on that right side.
He flexes
his muscles in the wrong area.
Having missed Lodge now at the start of the year, that's their enforcer. Now, Tevita Pangos tried to have to take that over. To have him missing 4 weeks now, Jack Bird obviously gone as well. Offengawi didn't play on the weekend.
They need him around, don't they?
They need him.
And you've got like a centre winger on the ground. And you come in for a shot like that. I mean, the next set, Tom Alolo ran straight over the top of Pangai Jr. And that was his opportunity to flex his muscle then in the middle of the field on a big man, you know. And I don't know. It's just ill-disciplined. And I reckon his coach would be, you know, really upset with him.
What about Mitch? We've seen someone like Nathan Brown in the past get quite a few suspensions. But he, that started to really come out of his game. And you can see he's aggressive, but in a controlled manner. How do you think Brad Arthur was able to help him sort of eliminate that from his game?
Well, we know that he's such an important player to our team. So he's obviously had to tone that down. He still has his blow-ups in the game and things like that, but he's learned to deal with it a lot better. And I think that's, you know, it's come with a bit of age, I guess, as well. You know, he's come in with trying to be a bit of an enforcer, I guess. But, you know, he's learned to tone it down and control it, which is the best thing for the team. You know, the best thing for the team was for him to be playing week in, week out, and he knows that, so he's fixed that up.
They're a pretty impressive bunch of forwards they've got, though, the Broncos, aren't they? And someone like the Fifita try, that'll be played over and over and over again.
You won't see a better try from a forward this year.
Unbelievable.
Awesome.
Incredible athlete. Yeah, I mean, I was really impressed with the Broncos last night. I thought the Cowboys had, I mean, everyone's got a lot to play for in the first game of the season, but the Cowboys with a new stadium and, you know, Valentine Holmes making his sort of long-awaited return, and there was playing against the Broncos, you know, big brother up there, there was, you know, everything indicating that they were going to come out with lots of energy and put on a show. And no one's really spoken a lot about the Broncos this year. They were, you know, pretty poor. They limped out of the final series last year. Brodie Croft, everyone sort of questioned the acquisition of him and then moving Darius into the centres. We saw what happened with Jack Bird there a couple of weeks ago. So they lost their fullback. Mitch just mentioned the amount of talent that they went into this game without.
Yep.
And they kept it really simple. I thought Brodie was fantastic. You know, just steered him around the park well. Ran, which is the strongest part of his game. But what I was most impressed with was what his presence allowed I think, their most talented player in Anthony Milford to do. He didn't look confused. He didn't look like he was trying to play a game that he wasn't comfortable with. He ran. He offloaded. He caused them trouble all night. If they play like that and keep it simple, they'll win a lot more games than they lose this year.
Well, Brody's kicking game, I think, controlled the game. You know, he was finishing the sets in the corner, and like you were saying, he was getting the boys around the park. And when the most dangerous player on the field was Anthony Milford, and Brody was getting around the field, and then when Anthony Milford's running at you, you're always aware. He's the hardest person to defend, and in probably the NRL, he's got a tackle break. He's very strong, and I thought he was very good last night, but come on the back of Brady Croft.
How important is it to have those roles that are so decisive? I mean, you've had battles over the years where you've had, Corey Norman on one side and you on the other, and whose team in and all that discussion. I mean, now for someone to have such a definitive role to come in and say, Brady Croft only has one style and he's a game manager. And Milford, that's been trying to juggle that sort of role for the last 3 or 4 years, how much pressure does that take off a guy to then just go out and play the style in which he's most accustomed and enjoys most?
Yeah, well, Anthony just looks so calm last night, I think, and that's coming off the back of what Croft was doing. Turpin was just passing the ball off the deck, and Croft was kicking to the corners, getting the boys around the park, and you could see it in Anthony's game that when he took the line on, he was dangerous. But it looks really clear that it's Brody Croft. I think Milf said it after the game that when Brody came to the team, that he told him that, it's your team, you take control. So it looked like that last night, and thought Brody was outstanding, and then, complimented Anthony so good.
And what about, you touched on it, the Fifita try, just absolutely out of nothing, from basically standing still, he manages to get past two Cowboys and then steps Val as well. What is it like? Please tell me to have David Fifita running
very
at you.
Very scary, very scary. I just shut my eyes and hope for the best, try to fall over in front of him or something. And but no, he's just such an athlete. To see the, I didn't think he was that fast, to be honest. The way his acceleration off a standing start to get through the line and then step the fullback and have, I think, Kyle Felt, and then he had, I was seeing Scott Drinkwater chasing after him as well, who are very fast players, to then find another gear and get away from him and score that try was unbelievable.
But Jason Taumalolo running at you wouldn't be any fun either, I wouldn't have thought.
Not many players are.
but it's about keeping it simple again for the Broncos. I mean, they've got so many guys that can go forward. Flegler last night was fantastic. You've got Payne Haas there that's just making 15 metres and playing the ball really quickly. So, for Fifita and Pangai Jr., they don't need to come in and help out. They've got some big, strong, they've got Oates and Stags and the outside backs and Asako that carry the ball so well out of trouble. So these guys are fresh when they get the football, and generally they're on, the halves.
Yep.
So it just allows them to, be so dynamic and come up with plays like that. Even Pangai Jr. in that second half set up that lovely try just for getting on the outside, being fresh and not having to bring the ball out of his own end. I mean, simple philosophy, simple game plan, but executed
the
so
person
well.
I really like at that club is that Patrick Carrigan. He's only played 1 year in first grade, but I think he's a co-captain now or something like that. So the way he hits, and I think he's that real leader in the pack. And then, you got the likes of Payne Haas and Fifita and the names you said that can play off the back of him. And he really lays a good platform. He runs the ball really hard, and he hits hard. He hits hard every time he hits.
With Alex Glenn out, he and Brody Croft were the co-captains. So Patrick Carrigan has only played 20 games of first grade, which means he's the youngest NRL captain in history. So the next was, or least experienced anyway, the next was Ben Galea for the Tigers, who had 23. So that's incredible. And I think all round we forget that across the 17, they are a very young side. Yep. So it's pretty impressive what they did.
What do we make of Val Holmes, his first game back since the stint in the States?
Oh, look, he had some good moments. For mine, I was talking to Mitch about it off air. Like, he looks a lot bigger now than when he left. He looks a lot more explosive. I'm not sure if he's got that top-end speed where, after 10 or 15 metres, when he get the ball at fullback in that last sort of stint he had for the Sharks there, he'd get between players really quickly or really easily because his top-end speed was so fast, and he'd just split defensive lines. But he just looked like he'd lost a little bit of that top-end speed, and he'd done a lot of work, obviously, on his explosiveness. But it won't be too long. He's a fantastic
athlete. There's a couple of mistakes, but great that he scored a try, which is good as well.
It'll take him a couple of weeks, I think. He's been out of the game for a whole year or something he missed. So it'll take him a couple of weeks. I think you'll be seeing his best footy round five, round six, around that. That's when he hoodie straps.
But the strange thing about that whole thing was the Cowboys and the way that they went about, their playing. their game plan in that last night. It was very side to side. You know, they've got so many good ball runners. Michael Morgan probably been one of the best ball runners in the game. But again, they were just always looking to find a pass and always going lateral and didn't really bring Val into the game in that middle third of the field, running off the back of Tom Malolo and Granville and the like. So a little bit of sort of back to the drawing board for the Cowboys after that one.
All right, he won the Clive Churchill in a losing side last year. I think he was man of the match yesterday, and certainly the Raiders looked impressive. Jack Whiten joins us next on the Saturday Scrum. Some Smashing Pumpkins for you on the Saturday Scrum. Well, on the back of what was admittedly their own fault, but it was an ugly week in build-up for the Bulldogs. But, gee, they did turn up to play your mob, Mitchell Moses. They were there defensively. They were awesome. They couldn't get across the stripe. You guys did just the once, 8-2. Win ugly, win early.
Yeah, exactly. You take the 2 points whenever you can. And, you know, it's always that kind of dogfight against the Dogs. Always, you know, dragging. It's always a very physical game. You know, I know a couple of boys coming in recovery were limping in there and they were feeling it. It was a very physical game. But, you know, just happy to get the two points and we'll take it early in the season.
That seemed like a game that maybe, you know, a couple of years ago you might have lost. Yeah. Generally, a lot of people think about Parramatta, and if your attack doesn't click, your frustration usually shows out in your defence. But start of the season, you know, as Tony said, you get the 2 points, you take what you can, and not an easy side to beat. So I think in that regard, a lot of people are saying, oh, but Parramatta, they've got so many good attacking players. That'll come, but obviously building, you know, your season around your defence.
Yeah, that'll come. I think the past 4 weeks we've been just really focusing on our defence, and, you know, the attack will come, like you said. It'll take a bit. You know, we've got some new combinations. I've got Ryan Madison, my edge, next to me, and Regan Kemmel-Gillard still getting used to our structures. So, you know, that you know, kind of offload footy. We made a couple of errors, bombed a couple of tries early in the first half, which we should have scored. But, you know, I think the mentality that we came out with in the second half was the real positive thing. We came out with a real kick to the corners and defend, and we will fall over the line, which is what we did. And, you know, like you said, in the past we lose that game. Well, we did last year. Yeah, last year we versus the Bank West, played the exact same game and they got us on the, you know, with 10 minutes to go. So it was good that we come out the other side, and, you know, it's good that we can win those games now.
And what about, you've got Andrew Johns in as a halves coach. Yeah. Tell us about the influence of him and how he's helped you.
Yeah, it obviously didn't look like it helped me the other night. It was a bit rusty, but, you know, like I said, it's gonna come. It's going to take a couple of rounds. But even at training, you know, just the influence that he's had on me, but not only me, but the whole spine, I guess. And, you know, the way he breaks down your game and the way, you know, you go in and even just simplifying your game, even how to pass the ball. It was simple stuff like that. I've never had a halves coach before, so I've been very excited, and I've got a lot out of this preseason, so hopefully I can take it into the season, really.
Never had a halves coach?
Nah, not really. Like, not a
specific,
not a, yeah, yeah, someone like Andrew Johns, I guess. And
you're going pretty high on the tree there.
Yeah, exactly.
Top of the tree.
Why don't you go with Joey there? What about Blake Ferguson? I love the fact that he's decided this year he's going to do the backflip celebration of the try, even if it's not a try, which wasn't. He's quite a character.
He's a space cadet, really. But, you know, he's a very big asset to our team, and he's such an important person to have in our team. I guess, you know, he gets our sets on the start, and he was outstanding on the other night. He ran for about 160 metres or something. You get that out of him every week, and we just need to keep his head during the week, and then he'll be performing like that on the weekends.
Does he rate himself as a bit of a goal kicker too? I know when we were in Bega, he was trying to take some from the sideline as well, and he knew the cameras were on.
He comes up and tips me up about goal kicking, and he lets me know that at the Roosters, Robbo used to let him goal kick a fair bit, so he reckons he comes up to me, he's second string, so he comes up and tips me up at training, and I just try to block him out.
Tell us about some of the changes that the NRL have made to the game this year and how that's affected the playing group. So you've obviously got the Captain's Challenge. I mean, no one's really been that successful at it so far. And the scrums, which would also obviously impact you, and who makes the decision on where you guys are going to feed the scrum?
Yeah, the Captain's Challenge, I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest. It's, you know, there was a couple that we wanted to challenge in the game on Thursday, but the refs let it play on, so then you couldn't, like,
gotta
challenge
be a stoppage.
It. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So
it's kind of got to be a stoppage for you to challenge it, and it was a bit stupid, and I don't know how it's going to go, but, you know, we just got to put up with it, and, you know, it's part of the game now, so we've got to get on with it. So
did
Clint Gutherson, he was told basically if a player comes and says, like Rick and Campbell Gillard obviously did, oh, they stripped it, I would never have dropped that.
Did you give that to give
he
it to
goes,
him?
Okay, I'll get
well,
I'll back
I went in. Straight up to him because I don't know, he just clicked to me. We didn't even speak about it during the week that we had a captain's challenge.
Right.
So I went running up to him and it clicked to me. I said, did they ever strip it? Yeah, they stripped it. And we've gone, challenge it. And then it just.
That was your fault.
Yeah, maybe it is. He was very convincing, but but it just slows down the game. I thought, you know, we bought stuff in last year to speed up the game, and then we've just slowed it straight back down. So, it gives the team a bit of a rest and, you know, to get your line set. And I think teams will start using it as a strategy, maybe save one towards the end of the game, then. If it's a tight game, they might just use it to get some energy, you know what I mean? So,
and what about the other one with the scrum? Because it would seem that everybody was going to go centre field because you have your attacking options. Yeah. But in your game, there was a fair bit towards the sideline.
Yeah, so we've played around with it a fair bit at training. So it's kind of constructed into our sets kind of. So, you know, we found that we've got a lot of strikes. So we've got a lot of speed. So the more space we have, the better chance we are to make an inroads. But, you know, it was a bit of a scrappy game, so you didn't really see the best of it. But I think from the middle of the field is probably where every team's going to try to do it. So I think it's going to be an asset. But, you know, I think teams are just sussing it out at the moment. So I reckon you'll see maybe a couple exciting plays, I guess, around that scrum play.
What about someone like Ryan Madison on your edge? He was pretty solid defensively, but there's been a lot of talk about what he's brought as a leader, and he hasn't been shy. He's, you know, at a new club and he's standing up in front of the group saying, this is what we should be doing. This is what leadership is. How did the group take that? Because I guess there's a chance, you could take that as, is this bloke coming in? Is he arrogant telling us what to do? So how did that play out?
Well, he's won a comp. Yeah. So you're going to listen to everything he says. He's been at a club like the Roosters and that, you know, you know how good they are and, you know, how many leaders they have in that club. So, you know, he got up, it started preseason, got up and spoke in front of the boys and said, this is what we're going, this is what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. So we were all a bit taken back from it, but it's something that we needed, I think, at the club. Mm. We needed that kind of leader, that was going to take control and go forward for us. And, like you said, he got through a massive workload on the game on the weekend. We didn't need him to do anything special. We just needed him to come in and do his job. And he did that. And we've also got another leader in Regan Campbell-Gillard who's played for Australia, who played Origin. So, you know, those are two very big assets that we've got to our club.
What about the 2040? Is that you see many of that? Did you have a shot at one?
No, I didn't. I didn't have a shot. But, you know, our back five is so good, getting out of the backfield, that I didn't really even think about it, to be honest. Yep. But, you know, if we're camped down, I might have a shot at one. I kicked one in the nines, actually, in the World Nines. So.
Okay.
It is a tough kick, but
because
if you camp down there on your 20, I think Joey was speaking about it last night. You camp down there on your 20, it's a standing kick, so you're going to have a lot of pressure. So it is a big kick to get some power into without running forward. So I think Joey was saying maybe change it to the 20-50. So it's not as hard, but
well, if Joey says it, it's probably going to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, your season is up and running. The NRL season, well, a little bit of a limp in it at the moment, as we know. We're going to hear from Peter Sterling. He joins us at 2 o'clock. Get his take on what is going on. Any of the latest on the corona coming your way right here on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream, steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.